And I am a very firm believer that the Word of God never becomes outdated. Amen. It is just alive today as it was when it was first written. And because God is no respecter of person, that lets me know that I can put my name right in the text. Amen. Anywhere in this Bible, you can put your name right in the text. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And that's been in, I could tell, that must have been in Sister Mason's spirit, because she burst out in a laugh. And why is she laughing? She's not laughing because it's funny, but she's laughing because God has a way of confirming without another word being spoken. That's how you got to learn how to receive it. Without another word being spoken, God that quick have confirmed something to her. I already know it. I heard the laugh. There was something in the laugh. Come on here, somebody. Tell your neighbor there was something in that laugh. Isaiah 43, verse number 1. Look what it says. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You may take your seats. When you pass through the waters, not if you pass, because had the text said if you pass through the waters, that would have simply meant that there's a possibility of you going through the waters. But the text says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I want to talk to you all for just a few minutes about divine protection. Divine protection. When you read this 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I would encourage you to read the entire, amen, chapter, because it deals with God's chosen people. God's chosen people, as we know, was Israel, the Israelites, amen. And God, in this 43rd chapter, he's made several promises to Israel. Not only did he make several promises to them, but he also informed them as to what he was going to do for them. Now, if you know anything about the Israelites, you know that really they loved God, but they just had a little trouble staying on track. Amen. They had some issues. Amen. They would do good for a moment, and then they would just go back to their old ways. Well, just like some of us. Come on here. We kind of know what they had experienced. And so Israel, though, in this 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, is spoken of here as a redeemed people. And you have to understand, when we deal with redemption, amen, redemption involves many things. To be redeemed really just simply means that there's been a ransom, amen, to pay for you. It means to buy back, amen. It means to get back. It's almost like anybody visited a pawn shop when you need some money. You take something in there, they give you $200, and then guess what? You have to go back into that pawn shop and redeem, amen, whatever you left there. But now you just don't walk in there and say, hey, give me my stuff back. It's going to cost you something. And that's what it means. You are redeeming what you left there. And so redemption involves many things. But not here, the emphasis is on the possession, the protection, the price the passion and promises that are involved in the redemption of the Israelites. Amen. You see, the basic facts of redemption are given here with emphasis on who the Redeemer is in relationship to the redeemed people. Amen. I'm going to say it again. It's because it's all about relationship. And so the emphasis is on who the Redeemer is. Amen. In relationship to the redeemed people. Well, we looked at verse number 1 and it tells us who the Redeemer is. Amen. Number 1 let us know that the Redeemer, the one that is, the old folk used to say, that's getting them out of the hop shop. Amen. He is their creator. Because he simply says, I created thee, O Jacob. I formed thee. And so Israel's Redeemer is special. He is no idol, but he is the God who created them. The ultimate reference of identity of God is the Creator. It is he who have made us and not we ourselves. And so because God, y'all don't mind if I take my time, do you? Because God has created us, that just simply means that he knows all about us. And that means that we don't have nothing to worry about. We don't have nothing to fear because he's the one that created us. He knows our uprising. He knows our down setting. He knows when you go out and when you come back in. God knows when you are in your state of confusion and when you cannot quite see your way. He knows everything that we need. Why? Because he is the one that created us. And that is why man does not want creation by a divine being, simply because it forces them to acknowledge the fact of God and his greatness. Anybody who would say that God is my creator, you can't help but to acknowledge the greatness and the awesomeness and the faithfulness of God. And you know, we're living in a day, we're living in a time where it seems like they're trying to take God out of everything. They want to take in God we trust out of money. How many of y'all know they need to keep that on there? That instead of having that in 10 point, they need to put that in 72 point, so that when we pull our little dollar out, we can know that, hey, this dollar, even though I have a dollar, I'm still trusting in God. They don't want to have to trust in God, because if they admit that they must trust in God, then they have to admit the greatness of God. And so he says, I am your creator. And then he wanted them to know that he was their chooser, because not only did I create you, but I have called thee by thy name. He says, thou art mine. And I stop by here to encourage somebody in the hustle and the bustle of everyday life that God knows your name. Amen. Look like society want to attach us to a number, but God knows us by our name. I got a phone call the other day and said that I needed to go to the doctor and get some tests done. And I was kind of amazed that I would get that call, because I didn't know that I was supposed to schedule an appointment. And so I went on ahead and scheduled the appointment for next week. And then when I went home and told Sister Teresa that I had received that call and that I had scheduled the appointment, she says to me, she said, you know, that probably wasn't you. That probably was Gary Jr. She said, he probably just looked in the computer and saw Gary Watkins, because he's supposed to be going doing some tests, amen, in regards to this, and it wasn't really me. And so when I call them back on tomorrow, I've got to decide and ask them whether or not they became a little confused between the Gary Watkins that they have in their system. And how many of y'all know sometimes systems even get off? Amen. But I said all that to say this: God knows you by your name. God don't confuse you. It don't matter if you're a junior, if you're a senior. It doesn't matter if you're the first, the second, or the third. Amen. God don't. He never confuses you. Man has a way of confusing you. Years ago, me and Sister Teresa went to go buy a Volvo, I believe, up in the Carlsbad area. And I gave them my Social Security number, Sister Pat, and they ran the Social Security number. And they kept us in the office for a long time. And we was wondering why we were in the office for so long. And then all of a sudden, police officers started showing up. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's on my record? God, I thought that you told me that you cast all my sins into a sea. No, just kidding. Listen, and so I was just wondering what was on my record. And they came in and they said that we have to question you because there was another Caucasian man that was 70 years old that had the same Social Security number that I had. He had the same name that I had. And so they wanted to make sure that I wasn't in there trying to buy a car under somebody else's, somebody say name. I said that to say this: God says, I know you by your name. And one thing about that is you never have to worry about God becoming confused about who you are, because he said, I'm the one that have chosen you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And so when you glance down at verse number 2, boy, I'm feeling good just talking. When you glance down at verse number 2, I see there the protection in the redemption, because while this promise of protection is given to Israel in our text, it illustrates the protection of God for the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if you declare that you are a part of God's redeemed people, then guess what? You have God's divine protection plan, because when you become saved, you are protected for eternity. Amen. Because I need y'all to know that this protection just don't deal with the storms of life, but this protection also protects you. Amen. And it protects your salvation. I'm saved and I'm glad I'm saved. Is there anybody that glad that you're saved? Amen. Listen, if you're not going to be glad about being saved, you might as well not be saved, because there's a joy that comes along with salvation. Amen. There's a joy. And so when you are saved, amen, then you are protected for eternity. I want to just glance at three things right in this text real quick, amen, that's involved in this protection, this divine protection. I want to deal with God's presence, and then I'm going to deal with his power, and then I'm going to deal with his promises. Everybody say his presence, say his power, amen, and say his promises. God had promised them his presence, the presence of God. Amen. He said, I will be with thee. And so the presence of God, it guarantees divine protection. In this presence, God gives us assurance of our safety. The Lord promises to be with his people as they pass through deep waters and fiery trials of life. Paul said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if our spirit bear with his spirit that we are his children, then guess what? We don't have anything to worry about. Why? Because we have the very presence of God. It dealt with the power of God. He said, because when you go through the waters, when you go through the floods. They shall not overflow thee. In other words, the power of flood waters can be great, but God's power is far greater. You see, when trials and hardships threaten to engulf believers, they will not drown. Amen. You all know how he opened the Red Sea and stopped the waters of the Jordan for the Israelites to cross over. Amen. Amen. They were threatened, amen, by Pharaoh and his army. But God had already declared a word to them. And how many of y'all know you can stand on the word of God? You can stand on the promises of God. Amen. The Bible said the devil, he comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. But he says, what? I come that you might have what? That you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In other words, what he was saying, he said, I'm going to protect you from earth all the way to heaven. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and when the enemy trying to make you doubt your salvation, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm never going to perish. You better put that in your spirit. You all walking around trying to figure out whether or not you saved. You save on Monday, and then on Tuesday you're not saved. You wonder whether or not if you die right now, whether you're going to heaven or not. If I die right now, I'm on my way to heaven. Tell somebody, I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have God's divine protection plan. Amen. He says that no man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm in the hands of the Almighty God. And it ain't nothing you can do, and it ain't nothing that you can say that can pluck me out of, oh, Lord have mercy, the hands of God. You see, there's no power that can take away our salvation, for God's power is greater, and it protects us not only through our trials, but the greater meaning is that it protects us from the loss of our salvation. How many of y'all know the devil is trying to wear the saints out? I don't care what y'all say. The devil is trying to wear the saints out, and please don't let the devil get the best of you. We're living in the last days. Amen. He knows that our time is short. Amen. He don't appreciate you knowing in whom you believe, and that the person you believe in is able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. He don't want you to be victorious in Jesus Christ. He don't want you in everything to give thanks, because it's the will of God concerning you through Christ Jesus our Lord. He don't like the fact that in the midst of everything you are going through right now, you still declaring that the Lord is good anyhow. He hate when it come out of your mouth. I'm going to feel like preaching in a minute. He hates when it come out of your mouth. Hallelujah anyhow. I'm not going to let my troubles get me down. But when my troubles come my way, I'm going to lift my head up high and say hallelujah anyhow. He cannot stand the fact that you say, I trust in God wherever I may be, on the mountaintop or out on the raging sea. Though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. The devil hates it. And so the devil's trying to wear the people of God out. But I had about 10 folk that would declare the devil is a liar. No, you was too cute when you said it. You can't be cute when you're rebuking the devil. I need 10 folk that really mean it to declare the devil is a liar. Why? Because no weapon that's formed up against me, God word, it's not going to prosper. You see, he said, the Lord, God said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to strengthen you. And I noticed 3-4 promises that's right here of the promises of God for his divine protection. He says, I will be with thee. Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even until the end. end of the world. He declares, and behold, I'm with thee, and I will keep thee in all places, whether thou goest. In other words, he said, no matter where your feet may trod, God said, I'm going to be with you. Whether you on the mountaintop or whether you down in the valley low, God says, I'm going to be with you. Whether you walking across the desert sand, God says that I'm going to be with you wherever you go, and I will bring thee again into the land. He said, I'm not going to leave you, nor will I forsake you. And then he says, I'm not going to leave you until I've done that which I've spoken unto thee. And then you know what? That must mean something. When I read that scripture, it's right there in Genesis 28 and 15. When I read that scripture, that he says that I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I said, wait a minute, God, wait a minute. Thank you for revelation, because that simply means that you said you're never going to leave me or you're never going to forsake me. That means you ain't going to never be done with me. That means you're going to just keep on speaking into my life. Oh, some of y'all, you'll get that when you get home. He said, I ain't going to leave you until I'm done with you. And so that just simply means, God, you ain't going to never get done with me. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, he's working in your behalf. Some of y'all ready to quit. You ready to throw up your hands. You think the situation is over, but I dare you to declare it's not over. It's not over, because God said, I'm still working. I don't know who this is for, but I'm still working in your behalf. God, I don't see how you're working. It looked like the more I trust you, the worse things get. The more I quote your word, the sicker I become. I want you to know God is working. Tell your neighbor, in your behalf. He says, guess what? Because you have my presence, the floods and the waters, they're not going to overflow you. Look at your neighbor and prophesy and say, you're not going to go under. You're not going under. Come on, tell them you're not going under. You may feel like you're going under. Somebody say, well, Pastor, I'm almost there. It's right here and I'm blowing bubbles. But I dare you to keep blowing bubbles and keep on trusting in God. Hallelujah. Because I stop out and let somebody know. I don't care how dark the night may get, you're not going under. You are a child of the Most High God, and God has promised that you got my presence. And how many of y'all know where the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy? Tell them again, you ain't going under. You ain't going under. You might as well get your praise back, because you ain't going under. And once you realize that, because I've got the word of God and I can't go under, Lord, I don't want to preach here too long, but Master, do you care that we perish? While the disciples is out on the boat and the seas are raging, and it just seemed like, it just seemed like they getting ready to go under. Lord, do you care that we perish? Well, he had already said, let's go over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go under. He said, let's go over. And how many of y'all know, if God say, let's go over, you might as well get ready, because God is the only person I know that can use going under in order to take you over. Oh, y'all, some of y'all missed it. God may say you may have to do some deep sea swimming, but don't worry. If I say that you are going, if I say you are going over, you might as well get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready, get ready, get ready to go over to the other side. This thing is not going to take you out. If it ain't taking you out by now, you might as well hold on to God, because it's not going to take you over under. I'm glad I'm on the old ship of Zion. You better get on board. You better get on board, because Jesus is the captain. You better get on board. It has landed many of thousands. You better get on board. Get on board. Many of y'all are on this ship of Zion, and you looking out on the raging ship, and you letting what you look at bother you. I read a quote the other day that says, ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets inside of them. And so the moral of this story is, don't let what is happening around you, don't let it get inside of you, and don't let it weigh you down and cause you to drown. Look at your name, say, get it out of you, get it out of you. Get the worry out of you. Get the stress out of you, because it's wearing you down and it's going to cause your ship to sink. But God said, I'm with you always, and I'm not going to allow the floods. I'm not going to allow the floods to overflow you. He said, when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. Listen, when the fiery persecutions threaten to overwhelm believers, the flame will not burn us. And this promise was literally fulfilled already through Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego. Come here. Come here, Shadrach. Come on, Meshach, and the Abednego. Come help me preach and tell me what God will do for you when you find yourself in the fiery furnace. And they cannot help but testify that God will take the heat out of the fire. How many of y'all know God? Tell your neighbor, God will take the heat right out of your fire. You ain't got to worry about it. God, turn it up, turn it up. But before they put them in the fiery furnace, they said, you turn that fire up 7 times hotter. But guess what? Tell the devil, go ahead and turn it up, because I have the presence of the Almighty God, and God is able to take the heat out of the fire. He said, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, God encourages Israel by giving them many protection promises. He said that it ain't not going to even kindle against there. And so he said, don't worry about the floods, and don't worry about the fire. And guess what? If he did it for them, he can do the same thing for each and every one of us, because we are redeemed. Brother McKnight, we could put ourselves in this text, because David said, oh, love the Lord. He said, all of you saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. I stopped by here to let somebody know that God is preserving you. Stop looking in the mirror and talking about the bags under your eyes and how gray your hair's getting, and say, the Lord is going to preserve me. He's going to preserve the faithful, and he's going to reward you after a while. Because Paul turns around and says, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and he's going to preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. In other words, let the rain fall, and let the winds blow, let the lightning flash, and let the thunder roll. The God I serve, he's going to preserve me to all glory forever and ever. And then David said, let me tell y'all something. His anger only endured for a moment, and in his favor there is life. Weeping may endure for a night. Y'all help me close now and tell your neighbor that weeping may endure for a night, but somebody shout, joy is coming in the morning. I dare you to hold on. I dare you to keep trusting in God. Keep sharing your testimony and keep singing your song. Keep on crying. But while you cry, I don't want you to complain. But while you cry, I want you to keep on praising. Keep on trusting, because weeping may endure for a night. Joy! Somebody jump up and shout joy. Joy! Joy! Ow! Joy! Coming in the morning. Say yeah. Brother Paul says, many are the affliction of the righteous. Somebody say, but. Look at your neighbor and say, but what? The Lord, he will deliver all of us from our troubles. Trouble is in my way. I got to cry sometime. So much trouble. I got to cry sometime. I lay awake at night, but that's alright. Tell your neighbor, Jesus, he's gonna fix it. He's gonna fix it. He's gonna fix it. Diane, he's gonna fix it. After a while, when is after a while? I don't know. I said, I don't know. But have you not heard? Have you not known that the everlasting Father, the creator of the universe, he don't faint. He giveth power to them that have no might. He will increase your strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But they, I said, but they that wait on the Lord, he shall renew your strength. You gonna mount up with wings as eagle. You run, not be weary. You gonna walk, and you're not gonna faint. Hold on. Tell your neighbor, hold on. Tell them, hold on. I've got a feeling. I've got a feeling. I've got a feeling. I've got a feeling that everything, somebody shout everything, it's gonna be all right. Now tell somebody, it's all right now. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Lord, it's all right. I got God on my side. I know it's all right. Hey. Woo. I've got God's divine protection. And I know it's all right. I know I'm finished. I know it's all right. I just drew a blank. I know who you are right there. Young man, turn around, wave your hand at me. I know who you are. Where you at? I know it's all right. I know it's all right. How'd I know it's all right? The Holy Ghost told me. Oh, come on, come on. You better grab it. You better grab it. You better grab it. Sister Christine, it's all right now. It's all right. Hey, glory be to God. Somebody shout, hey! Y'all know what that mean, right? Y'all know what that mean, don't you? Hey means life. Somebody shout, hey! I got a reason to live. I got a reason to live. I got God on my side. Hey! No mountain's too high. No valley's too low. No river's too deep. I got God. Tell your neighbor, live, live. Live.
Don't worry about nothing. You don't need no Uzi. You don't need no sword. You don't need a gun. You got God's divine protection. Hey, all day, all night, the angels keep watching over you. Woo. Everybody stand, everybody stand. When you pass through. Anybody going through anything? Wave your hand and then put it back down. See, some of y'all didn't wave. Some of y'all went like that. Wave your hand if you're going through something. Put it down. I got good news for you. Don't get comfortable. Don't build right where you are. Don't pack it with groceries. Because the Bible said, when you pass, somebody say through. When I pass through something, that means I'm not going there to stay. But I got to go that route to get to where I'm going. Tell your neighbor, I'm going somewhere. So enough for me to get to where I'm going. I got to go through. You know what some of y'all problem is? And I'm done. You done sat down. Got you a glass of tea. Wondering how you going to do it. You going to pass through it. Whew, I didn't come here to stay. Whew, I'm going to pass through this. And your present situation right now is not your ending. Bible said where two or three touch and agree on the same thing, I'd be in the midst. And then once I'm in the midst, stuff start happening. Shake two or three people's hand and tell them where I am right now. It's not my end. Woo. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for praying for me. But where I am right now, it's not my ending. Woo. I look better in my future than I look right now. My God. I can say that. Because I have God's presence. That's why I can say it. I got nothing to doubt. I have nothing to fear. Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff. I gotta stop. Rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Against the gainsayer. In the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is running over. Because I have God's divine protection. Every eye closed. Every head bowed. Everybody's going through something. And God is a deliverer. And in his time, he'll bring you out. We be praying that God bring folk out. And God said, no, I got you in here because there's some lessons I need to teach you. Just some lessons. Just some simple lessons. Just some simple lessons I need to teach you. Three times I asked the Lord to remove my thorn in the flesh, but there was a lesson that Paul needed to learn. And that lesson was, my grace is sufficient. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Every eye closed.